Good morning, everyone. It is good to see you all this morning. I suppose we've all had moments where someone says something and we think, wait, what was that? Could you say that again? Maybe a bit slower or a bit louder, maybe preferably with subtitles, if you could. This describes the majority of my conversations with my wife. My wife is taught to say everything twice so that I can actually hear because I've got bad hearing. Jesus intentionally created that sort of moment with the people when he spoke with parables. They were meant to make you curious, to make you lean in and listen and say, what was that you said? Do you mean this? Parables are sharing a deeper truth wrapped up in a story. It's designed to be remembered. Whether it's understood or not, doesn't matter. It's designed to be remembered. It separates the crowd into different areas. So there might be the casual observer who's come along and said, what's going on here? There might be the sticky beak who's come in to maybe get some points for gossiping later on. Maybe, the gossip hunters. And then there's the other people who are genuinely interested, the curious, the thinkers who hunger and desire for more and said, I know a bit about where this is going, but I want more. I want to go deeper. I've got some questions I'd like to ask. I'd like to think of parables as a thought seed that's planted in your brain. This little story is planted in your brain, and you hear this story about God's kingdom or whatever, and God will bring it to your mind at just the right time to say, have a light bulb moment about you and your relationship with God. In Matthew 13, it says, Jesus spoke all these things in to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using parables. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. And that's from Psalm 78, verse 2. Now, Jesus' audience was the crowd. The crowd, it's described. We know there's Jews and non-Jews. There's Pharisees. There's people who are opponents of Jesus. And there's people who are friends of Jesus. And there's a whole wide mix of people that Jesus is talking to. And some of them are Gentiles. They didn't grow up in the Jewish belief system. And then there's disciples, Jesus' followers, his people who are on his side and want to know and develop their relationships with God. Now, the crowds heard the first three parables that Marius read to us this morning. And then it said in the middle that Jesus took his disciples away into the house to give them an explanation and to add some more parables to the mix. So we're not going to go through all six of these parables this morning for the sake of time, but we're going to look at a few different aspects of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you might give us listening ears and open hearts, that you might give us a better understanding and appreciation of you and your kingdom. In your holy name, amen. Did you pick up what Jesus was trying to communicate in this passage? Six times he said, the kingdom of heaven is like. And Jesus used a mixed, diverse range of stories. All of these stories were identifiable, and they were very relatable. The people who were listening to him would say, yeah, I can see that. The kingdom of heaven is like wheat, weeds, seeds and trees, yeast, pearls and finding treasure. Then there's a net that draws all people together. What a picture Jesus paints to get people to ask more questions and draw them in and say, what is this thing all about, the kingdom of heaven? Now, the kingdom of heaven, there's two phrases in the Bible. There's the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And they both mean the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is used by Matthew because Matthew's writing to a Jewish audience. And so Jews tend to avoid talking God's name out in public. And so Matthew uses the term kingdom of heaven. Now, Mark and Luke, they had a Gentile audience or a non-Jewish audience. And so they used the kingdom of God. And this was more relatable and identifiable for Gentile people or non-Jews. And so I'm going to switch between the two terms throughout this morning. So just so you know, it's both the same thing. God's kingdom is where God rules. And the Bible tells us that God is sovereign and all-powerful. And so there is a problem. God's given each one of us a free will. And so we can choose whether we go God's way and live in God's kingdom, or we choose whether we live under our own steam, under our own authority, under our own rules. And so the question we've got to ask ourselves this morning is, do we live under God's authority or our own? Are we living in God's kingdom? Now, Jesus continues on from last week's talk that Stuart gave us, the farming theme. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like the wheat and the weeds. A farmer plants good seed in a field. And the enemy sowed weeds at night time. And time passed and the sprouts grew. And the servant said, look, who did this? There's a whole heap of weeds in there. What are we going to do? Can we go and pull the weeds out? And the farmer said, no, give it time, because we will let growth happen. We will let it come to maturity, the wheat. And then once it's mature and the harvest time's done, we'll separate them out at harvest time. The enemy's efforts were gathered and destroyed, and the farmer's effort produced a whole heap of fruit. Now, the farmer wanted to wait. Now, Jesus explained who these different components are. Jesus said, the farmer is the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man is another name for Jesus, God's Son. And he was the one who planted seeds, and he gathered people to the good seed, represented the people who accepted his message and became under his rule and authority, became kingdom believers. The weeds are people who don't know God. They were spread by the evil one, and they're unbelievers, and those people who, whether actively or passively, reject God. And they might throw the fist up at God, or they might just say, that's not for me. The enemy, Jesus describes as the evil one, or Satan, the enemy of the farmer. And his attempt is to disrupt the growth of the good wheat. His purpose is destruction and disruption. And the harvest is at the end of the age when Jesus comes again. There'll be a time of separation where all the weeds are gathered and set aside, and all the wheat are gathered and they are a part of God's kingdom. There's a separation in this section. At what stage do you think we are at in this parable? Well, I think we're in the stage of being in the wheat field. There's wheat and weeds growing together. And what should our focus be? Should it be like the servant suggested? Should we go around pulling up weeds, being judgmental and critical, and pulling up weeds and saying, oh, you don't belong here, you don't belong there? What is our focus during this time? Our focus should be in growing our relationship with God. So many of us slip into the weeding modes. We're like a whippersnapper. I do all my gardening with a whippersnapper. And sometimes I hit the good plants as well as the weeds. But Jesus is said, wait until everything comes to maturity and then you can sort them out. They are very clearly different. There's a difference in height and there's a difference in colour, and the weeds come out a darker colour. The wheat has a full head of seeds in there that can be easily identified, easy to separate. So we need to focus on growing in our relationship with God and not tearing one another down. In Matthew 7, it says, you will know them by their fruit. And Jesus taught that a person's character, his true intentions, his spiritual genuineness is revealed through our actions, our behaviors, and the results of our lives, not just by what we say. And the thing is, it's God's job to do the judging. It's God's job. He'll organize the separating out. It's not our thing. Our focus is to grow in the knowledge and understanding of who he is and work from there. There was a guy called Forrest Finn at Fenn, and he organized a treasure hunt in 2010. He was a multimillionaire art collector, and he got a little treasure chest together with over $1 million worth of trinkets and jewels and gold bullion, and he put them together and he hid it somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. And he told people, I've got some clues, a 24-word poem, cryptic poem, that he sent on online. And this just went viral. Everyone went out searching for, it seemed like everyone, they estimate that up to 300,000 people got involved in researching and finding where this treasure was. It took 10 years before someone found it. And over those 10 years, 5 people died, and there were numerous rescue attempts within the Rocky Mountains to save people from dangerous situations trying to find this treasure. For some, this just became an addiction. Now, Jesus continues to speak to his disciples and he gives them 3 more parables. God's kingdom is to be valued. The kingdom of heaven is like a guy who goes wandering through a field and a sparkly bit of light gets reflected off some jewel or something, and he goes over and he finds this huge treasure in this field. And he quickly hid it over and he sold everything that he had so he could grab this treasure. The Bible says he joyfully went away to sell everything so he could get this treasure. Now, this was a plausible story because they didn't have formal banks back in the day. And if there was word that there was raiders coming through or thieves or or even if you were worried about your neighbours, you'd go and stash your treasure somewhere where no one could find it, and only you knew. Now, the owner of the treasure might have died, had an accident, passed away. He didn't share his secret, and the land could have been passed on from time to time. And so, if people find treasure now, it's a matter of the same scenario. People have forgotten about this treasure. So it's a plausible story. And the treasure was hidden and forgotten, and this guy found it. And he went away and he did everything possible so he could gain this field. Now, is Jesus saying that we can buy ourselves into God's kingdom? I don't think so. We've got to knock that on the head right away. We can't earn our way ourselves into the kingdom. We can't work off a debt like doing charity work. Maybe, if I just help out with hands and feet, God will say, yep, you can come into my kingdom because you helped with hands and feet on a Wednesday afternoon. No, it doesn't work like that. Jesus is saying that it's worth desiring God's kingdom above everything else. Now, we heard Malcolm this morning share his testimony, and he discovered that his relationship with God is so valuable. He's been given gifts of salvation, of knowing God and giving him, God giving him strength and support and peace. And you can't put a price tag on that. And he's a testimony of someone who's living in God's kingdom and wanting to go God's way. Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And he was talking about his relationship with God. Jesus's parables show that being a follower of Jesus is value added into our lives. The Apostle Paul also said, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Paul was a kingdom of God minded person, and everything else was valuable, but it paled into insignificance compared to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. The pearl merchant, he didn't stumble across his treasure. He was actively searching out. He knew the value of the pearls he was searching out. And when he found one that was of great value, he went away and sold everything. And so he was searching. And so people here might be searching for, what does it mean to be a part of God's kingdom? How do I find out more about it? And you're here to find out exactly what's going on. People will risk everything for earthly treasure, but Jesus says the kingdom of God is far more valuable. In Luke, it says Jesus told the crowd there, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So what about me? What about me? Am I growth focused? Am I growing in growth? Not comparing and judging, making myself feel better than the other person. Am I focused on value? Do I see God's kingdom as the greatest treasure? Or do we result to a half-hearted, empty, hollow treasure like gossip might give you the desire for status or superiority over the people around you? Gambling might give you a false sense of security and being in control. Alcohol might give you a false sense of comfort and peace. Pornography might give you a false sense of intimacy and connection. Maybe Netflix, ouch, might give you a false sense of relaxation and entertainment. You know, we need to work out what is valuable. And am I actively seeking out my relationship with God? Do I actively go looking for God and finding his ways and working out how does it work to live under God's authority? Jesus' parables reveal what God's kingdom is like so that we can recognize it, so that we can value it, and we can choose it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will open our eyes to the value of living in your kingdom. Lord, we acknowledge that we often settle for second-rate things to find our peace and security and satisfaction. Lord, I pray that everyone here will be encouraged to seek your way in your holy and precious name. Amen.